Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kind Voice on Movies. I'm your host, David Levins, and today we have the great pleasure of speaking with Morgan Will. He's the producer of Off the Greed in the Flower Man's Footsteps, which is a film that has something to say about people using their kind voice to help make our planet a better place. Thrilled to have Morgan on. Morgan, welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you. I'm Morgan from France.
Good to see you, Morgan. And we appreciate what you're doing with this documentary. Can you tell us a little bit about what Off the Greed in the Flower Man's Footsteps is about?
Yes. So basically, we did a small, we played on words, basically. So greed is written G-R-E-E-D. Just to say a word about the environment of today, because Off the Greed are the people which are living usually without any electricity and without being connected to the grid. And the goal is to say that we are consuming a bit too much, and that's what we want to focus on.
That's really a neat way of saying it. I didn't kind of read that initially in the title, but it's exactly what it's saying, to get off the grid as if it's an electricity grid.
Yes. So, of the grid, when we say the grid, yes, we think about the electricity, but we just wanted to talk about the energy in general. It's not to be disconnected of the world. The goal is really to be disconnected of the how we consume energy, and that's what we want to focus on. For example, if we go and, I don't know, and buy some goods in the supermarket, and you can see there is always lots of packaging. So what we want to say, it's more like maybe we can think about that and just consume like more wisely.
What made you want to do a specific story about the Flower Man?
About the Flower Man, why we choose them? Because we think they are really a good example for us in terms of consumption. This tribe is living in Mentawai, it's a group of islands in Indonesia, and they are living on an island called Siberut. On this island, they live since thousands of years, and they have a minimal impact on their environment. And we want to show like their relationship with nature. That's the goal of the documentary.
And what is the daily routine like?
So the Flower Man, they are a tribe. They are really living differently as we live in our like modern world, if I can say that. They live in the forest basically, and what they do, they have a culture called Arat Sabulungan. So this culture basically is animist, and it's based on the fact that they believe that there is a spirit in everything, in people, in animals, in vegetables, or in objects. And they think that this spirit or this soul must be, we must take care of it. Because if we don't take care of it, the soul will leave the host, and the person or the object will break or die. So that's their belief. And that's why it's really interesting for us. So what they do every day, they go hunting, they go fishing, they live in communities.
Interesting. And they also believe there's a spirit in the planet as a whole?
Yeah, they mostly believe that that there is like a spirit in everything. And they believe also that there is like bigger energy, which are providing, for example, the sun and the wind. It's really based on the elements.
What are some ways, some things that they do to honor this belief?
So to honor it, basically, for example, so they have the center person of the clan, because they live by clan, is called the Sikere, which means a shaman. So this person is in charge of managing the relationship between all the spirits. So he will perform rituals, for mostly everything. The main and famous ritual is when they go hunting, which is not very often because they are mostly gatherer, so they will just mostly like eat like vegetables. But when they go hunting, the sicarii will perform some rituals. They will do some rituals. They will talk to the forest. They will ask the forest and the elements to give to the flower men a good hunt, these kind of things. And when they will kill an animal, they will perform other rituals. So there is like more or less a ritual for everything they do in respect towards nature.
Well, that is interesting, the reverence they have for it. Now, is the flower men the name they have for themselves? Was that a translation that your group came up with?
No, they are called like this because they are living, they are wearing clothes made of plants. So that's the main reason. So they are called like this by the people which like are visiting them since like few decades. And they also like to wear some flowers in their hair. That's one of their particularity, because they think it's beautiful and it's a kind of community appartenance. So they will show you flowers. They will tell you like you can like tell if they're happy or if they want to do something in particular. So there is like a small story which is quite interesting. Also, it's like when, for example, they want to have sex, they will just turn down the flower. Like that's just an example of an habit they have. There is so many others with the flowers.
So you said they've been in contact with people from European type civilizations for the last couple of decades.
Yes. So the Mentawai Islands is a group of islands. There is four main islands. And basically, it's really famous for surfing because there is very good conditions, very good waves there. And on the Mentawai Islands, there is some hostel which has been developed in the last decades because of these conditions. And people are sometimes visiting these islands.
How did you first find out about them?
So I found out when my cousin went there. She was traveling around in Indonesia, and one day she had the opportunity to go on one of the islands and to meet with the flower men. And she stayed there for a year, and she was telling me all the stories about them. About their custom, about how they live, about what they do for keeping this relationship with nature. So that's how I found out 4 years ago.
Your cousin went there for the purpose of meeting them?
So she went there, like she was traveling on her own, which is like really courageous. And the purpose was really to discover new things. And she didn't know about them until she arrived on the island. When she arrived on the island, she discovered them by chance, as most of the big discoveries we make.
That's interesting. So she discovered them by chance, and she saw something really interesting there. How did she communicate to them? There must have been a language barrier.
Yes. So that's a really interesting point. Actually, the flower men have been like, I will just be really brief on this. They have been persecuted by the Indonesian government, like maybe it was like 40 years ago in the 70s. And what happened? They had to go on the mainland. And a few years later, in the 1981, the UNESCO said that the Mentawai Islands were biosphere reserve, which means man and nature reserve. So they came back, and some of them thought that there were like not so many left, and they should do something to be sure that their culture would be safe. So some of the flowermen became guides. And they speak Indonesian and the language of the Mentawai. So that's how she was able to speak to them. And even the guide she met, which is called Sarul, was able to speak English. That was even better for her. She speaks Indonesian, but she speaks a better English.
That's interesting how they reach out. I guess it's a survival thing to reach out in that way.
Yeah, I was just saying that's really a need that they felt. There were like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 left. So they just thought that their tradition like should like just be shared with people, and that was the way to be kind of protected. Because if people know about them, if someone is happening, they have like more impact. They have already understood this, which is really advanced. I mean, even for us people which are living in the modern civilization, if I can say that, we don't think about these things sometimes. It's like really a community power. It's the power of being together.
Yeah, I struggle with what to call our civilization, whether we're more modern than them. You know, I guess we got more stuff than them. Now, what is their reaction to you inquiring about their story and wanting to make this film?
It's they are really happy. It's really amazing. It's what like is giving us all of this energy to make it. We are in touch with them through an association which is called Suku Mentawai. So they are working for the cultural development of the Mentawai. So which means that they do this association, not-for-profit organization, sorry, is based on the Cebu Thailand, and they are like trying to teach the cultural knowledge of the flowermen to other Indonesian people living on the three other islands on the Mentawai. So we are in touch with them, and they are really, really happy. They are really welcoming us. They are just waiting for us to tell them when we are coming. That's really the best thing.
That's a really great opportunity. We're going to take our first break, so we'll be right back after this message.
Nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, an open ear for when you need to be heard. A warm heart, we can make that choice. Be a kind voice, a few kind
voice. Hi, I'm Kathy King, founder and executive director of Canines with a Cause, and I use my kind voice to create awareness of the importance of companion animals in our world and their ability to heal a broken soul. Canines with a Cause rescues dogs from local animal shelters. The dogs are placed with incarcerated women where they live and train as comfort companions or service animals for veterans battling PTSD. We also provide free training classes for the veterans, which enables them to develop skills to train their own dogs and become experienced handlers. The dogs provide the veterans with many benefits: simple companionship, motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and unconditional non-judgmental love. Learning to train a dog also helps the veterans out of their homes and get involved again in civilian life. It helps them develop emotional coping skills and resiliency. The dog and handler create a strong bond through working together, and the dog is trained for specific tasks to help the veteran lead a more productive, less stressful life. Canines with a Cause strives to make the world we all share a kinder, more connected place. We do this by healing through unconditional love. Separately, it's difficult for a dog in a shelter, an incarcerated woman, or a veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder to share their kind voices. But by creating a channeling process to bring them together, they can be a kind voice to and for each other. If you would like to know more about Canines with a Cause, visit our website, canineswithacause.org. Thank you.
A kind voice radio.
Hello and welcome back to Kind Voice on Movies. I'm David Levins, and we're talking with Morgan Will about his film Off the Grid in the Flower Man's Footsteps. In your interactions with the Flower Man, is there any one thing that surprised you a lot?
Yeah, so it's it's their welcoming spirit, because they are really open-minded. They really are eager to show us like how the culture is working and what they do. So from tattooing, living like their daily life, even if you can reach like a certain level, you can. They will show you a hunting party, which is like one of the biggest honor. So that's just like their spirit of sharing and the spirit of being a community, which is like the most surprising for us. I don't want to make any parallel with our society and how it's working, but you see what I mean. It's really different. I mean, everyone has to rely on everyone, I guess. So it develops like relationship, like very, very strong relationship.
Now, most countries, they have like laws to prevent stealing and violence. Do the Flower Women have any such laws to prevent that?
No, they don't have this kind of systems. We haven't seen anything like this in terms of stealing. And it's really, what they have is coming from the nature, and if they want to transform something they collect from the nature, they will have to use some skills. Like they can sew things, make a rope, or all they have is coming from the nature. No, there is no this. We haven't noticed like any problem in that.
Now, in your interactions with them, what have you learned that you think can be applied to modern societies?
Yeah, we think that we learned like lots of things, but if I had to choose one, only one, and just like...
If there's a couple that jump out at you, that'd be fine.
Okay, so the first and most important then will be the respect they have towards nature. The how they share and how they feel connected. It's really peaceful, like to see them hunting or fishing in the river, because they have a weird respect. If there is like, for example, five fish in the river, they will just maybe take one because they just need one. They won't take like all of them. They will just think about like maybe tomorrow we need them. But we just also collect one because it's like we need to renew the resources. They are really conscious of that. After there was some other things that I think we could apply. Which are related to this behavior towards nature. And that's why we did this documentary. The question of today in. We are living mostly in big cities, in the Western world, if I can say. And so we lose a bit this connection with nature. So our goal was, okay, let's share this this experience with people, and maybe they will understand that they need to renew this relationship with nature because it's getting weak. And with all of this global warming and subjects which are coming up like sources of problems for humanity in the near future, we are just thinking that it can be like one of the solution for tomorrow. So that's the main thing for me. And there is the other one is like their sense of the community, which is also linked to the first one, I think, because they are really like working together. They are living together. They live in a central house, which is a long house, which is called Uma. And it can host like around 30 to 60 people. And they call it a clan. So all of these persons, they are like living together under the same roof, and they have to interact. They have always to help each other to make something. If they have to build a bridge above a river, they will do it together. But first they will all sit and talk about like the project, to see if it's like worse or if it's interesting for them or if they will damage the forest, or they will consider like everything. And that's really like the second point for me that we can like remember, the community sense. the sense of community, sorry.
And later on in the show, I want to get back to how we can apply this to modern society. But for now,
yes.
I found your Kickstarter video very beautiful. I mean, it's just very well done, and it seems like a very well thought out project. Can you talk about why you chose to go through Kickstarter and a little bit about your Kickstarter project?
That's linked to what I've just said. So that's really the community sense. If we see that people are interested in our project, it means that these people, that's the people which are like ready to gather and be a community to make it work, to make it happen. So I think there is no better explanation than this to make it happen. And also for us, it's like the proof that people like believe in what we do.
Okay, so it's a very authentic thing using the Kickstarter to apply it to the message you want to share.
Yes, that's the crowdfunding. Really the crowd world is that what we want to use in this system.
And you have some very good rewards for people as well for being a part of this.
Oh yes, so there is many rewards. So the first one is quite interesting. It's a thank you ceremony. So what we want to do is basically like every people which are like participating in the campaign put their name in a box and go and find the shaman of the clan and ask him to do a ceremony to thank the people about the documentary we are making. So I think that's like one which has like the biggest spiritual value for us. That's also the lowest because we want so many names. We would like to have like the, I don't know, 100,000 names. I don't know. Just to see that there is lots of people, because they will be so happy then to see that there is people like still thinking that there is a possibility for all this relationship with nature and the community to work. And also they have also some expectation that people will remember them, which is another goal of the project, because there is the fireman and there is the main thing, which is like the nature interaction.
And the nature interaction is very, very interesting. We interviewed a lady, Kasia Jolder, and she's the head of the Eco Village movement. Have you had a lot of interaction with the people who create Eco Villages?
Yes, we have some interaction. I mean, personally, I have some interaction. I'm working for a community group which is called the Alfalfa, and this group is basically gathering food from farmers coming from, because I'm based in Australia, from different parts of Australia. It's all organic product, and most of the products like which are receptive, they are coming from community groups. That's their like main income to make the community works. And so this is really interesting to see how it's working, like how they can just share the task and the skills in these kind of communities. And so we are.
It's important to connect things. Have you made any partners or collaborators?
Oh, yes. So I'm myself an environmental engineer, and I'm working for a French company called Suez. And what we do, we are building water treatment facilities and waste management facilities. So this Suez will be like one of the main contributors on this project. And after we have some smaller ones, smaller businesses which are interested. We are working with the community group I was just talking about before, Alfalfa. And also, we have some different like yoga center, which are working with us as sponsors, doing some fundraising.
Now, I guess there's probably more you do, probably the more people will be able to connect with you as you the work of these people.
Exactly.
So we're going to take a quick break for a good news report, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, everyone. everyone. This is Brianna Dinscher with your Good News Report, where we deliver happy and exciting news from all over the world. This week, we have a very uplifting story from Lake Charles, Louisiana, where a firefighter rescued 6 baby ducks. The most interesting part is that he brought them to safety with the help of his iPhone. After he was notified that several ducklings had been caught in a drain, firefighter Cody Necht headed out to the location and created quite of a clever plan. He wriggled into the drain and got this bright idea to impersonate the duckling's mother using the quack, quack, quack ringtone on his iPhone. His idea did in fact work, and after about an hour and a half, 4 of the 6 ducklings were rescued. The remaining 2 came out later, and all 6 were finally reunited with their mother. This is definitely a very cute and unique story because it is not every day that you hear of someone spending so much time with such a brilliant trick to rescue little ducklings. In my opinion, Cody is definitely using his kind heart to bring more love to his neighborhood and is helping the small creatures in his community. This week's quote of the week comes from the great Dr. Seuss. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. Thank you for listening to today's report, and I hope that you continue to use your kind voice to bring happiness to others.
Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to Kind Voice on Movies. I'm David Levins, and we're talking with Morgan Will. Morgan, on your website or maybe your Kickstarter campaign, you said the nature of man is losing because of urbanization of its environment and the rhythm imposed by today's society. Can you kind of expand upon that a little bit? Because you talk about the rhythm, and I think about music. And
okay, yes, for this one, music can be really used. Like, I don't know if I can compare the two worlds, but I'm living now in Sydney, and it's a really big city, and there is so much going on. It's really huge. Like, there is always something to do. There is always someone to tell you that there is something to do, or we have also lots of administration works to do, and it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. I'm originally from France, and I'm coming from the countryside, and it's much more slow. It's really slow compared to here. So sometimes I feel that when I'm here, I cannot really take the time, or I'm kind of in a spiral. So if we were going to use the music, I would say that in Sydney maybe it would be techno music, and and my city back in France would be maybe some classical music in comparison for the rhythm. And so I'm just I just wanted to say when we were saying that on the website that we can get lost in this kind of rhythm. It's not to say that it's good or bad to have this kind of rhythm, but we can get lost, and we can just lose the purpose of what we are doing, because we just are doing things that we need to do without really processing them. So the goal of this sentence is more to be aware of what we could do to just relax. And I have a French expression, and I'm not sure if translated in English, everyone will understand, but I say usually, and everyone laughs, that we need to pull off our nose from the window. It's just...
I get it.
Just to have another perception, another angle. That's the goal.
Now, do the flower men, do they actually have music in their society? Do they sing and play instruments?
Yes, they have music because they have lots of shamanic rituals, and when they play music, it's basically more playing some rhythm, for trance from the shaman. So that's the only music they play. That's basically, yeah, kind of trance.
So does the music derive from the ritual and help them fulfill the ritual?
Yeah, like when you hear about that, it's like the feeling is really like a heart beat. It's really slow at the beginning, and suddenly it's becoming really, really fast. And that's when they are like reaching the trance state. So that's really like heart for me, heartbeat. And I always like also compared like myself. I mean, personally, like the music when you listen to it, we always talk about BPM, and I have the feeling that there is like a relationship with your heart.
And how the rhythm connects with your inner being.
Yes, exactly. It's all about connection. I don't know if you ever like been for a jog with music.
I have.
So when you listen to the music, I don't know, you can be in a really steep part, and you need some, maybe your heart is starting to beat more, and you would like that the music match this beat to give you power, to empower you, like to go over this obstacle, right?
Yeah, it kind of connects with your spirit a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Music is giving so much power to the spirit, I think, and it's really always like mind games when you have like difficulties. So when you have music, you feel always that you can like go over the obstacle like easily. That's my feeling, at least.
Yeah, it definitely helps to inspire. Now, if a musical composer was to spend time with the Flower Man, what kind of music would he write that derives from what he sees?
I think if he's like, depends on what he's writing. If he's writing about the daily life, I guess like the rhythm would be like kind of slow, but not, you won't sleep. You won't sleep. It will be slow because it will be peaceful, but it will be also giving you some energy. Like kind of not epic music, but it's like just transporting you somewhere, just peaceful music. What music I can see, there is some different styles. I think I would see a mix between kind of meditation music, blues music, and classical music. That's what I see for the daily life. And for the shamanic life, I would see something like the nightlife, like something which is coming alive, which is really powerful, like a beast.
Interesting. Which is really... Now, if you were to expose the Flower Man to the media that modern society has to offer, would they be interested in watching a movie on a screen? How would they feel about that?
Yeah, they will feel good, I think, if it's a documentary about them, because they will laugh, because they will recognize them. So that's the main thing I can see. But I think they will be, depending on what they see, but they can be sad. They can be sad, they can be happy. Now, like, because they had to go to the mainland of Indonesia, they have seen already some big cities, and so there is many things that they will see. They won't be like so much like maybe impressed because they've seen it already, but I'm sure they will be like still like they won't understand why there is a road, why there is no trees, this kind of elements. They will like think there is things missing, or there is things which are like kind of destroyed or sad because it's not nature anymore. But I'm sure they would be happy to watch a documentary about the Flower Man.
Now, how long did your cousin stay with them?
Yeah, she stayed there for a year. She stayed there for a year.
So she lived in their community?
Yes, she was living in a Uma, so the clinic house. And she was integrating with them. There is on the website one story about when she was sick in the jungle, which is quite interesting. I might share it later. But she stayed a year, and she was absolutely integrated in the life of the clan. So she was doing the task of the woman, because women and men have different tasks. So the women usually go fishing in the river when the men go hunting in the forest. So there is some separations in the task for some specific task, as fishing and hunting, and also taking care of the kids. So yeah, she was fully integrated. She was wearing the same clothes as them.
That's very interesting. Have other people from outside the Flower Man tribe lived there longer and integrated themselves into that tribe, that community?
Yeah, we have an example. We have a good example, actually. That's a guy called Rob Henry. So he's from Melbourne. And 10 years ago, he went to the Mentawa Islands, and since then he's living there. So since 9 years now. So we are in touch. We are in touch with him also, which is great. And he did a documentary also about them. And he simply abandoned his life in Australia to go there. And he fully adopted all the customs of the Flower. So he has the same tattoos, the same clothes. He's doing the same. He's living in the same way as them. It's really impressive.
That's terribly impressive. Of the things that the Flower Men do, a lot of their customs connect with nature, like you were explaining. Which ones will most easily be adoptable by a modern city?
Yeah, okay. I really need to think about this one, actually. When I talk about their connection with nature, what we want to do, it's really to show how they will work with nature in general. It's not a specific action, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
I don't know, because it's not really something we could adapt to our society. For example, going hunting in the forest, I'm not sure we can do it. I know some people doing it in Australia, but it's not the same thing. It's really different, and the culture is different. But these people, for example, they could get the relationship the flower men have with the animals they kill. For example, just to say thank you to the nature, just to say thank you, and just realize okay, I just took one life. And this life took a few years to develop, and there is this consequence. What kind of animal it is? Is it the mom? Is it the dad? Is it the kid? All these kind of things. It's just information about nature that we could just take. After our idea for the documentary is more for people to be conscious of this connection with nature that we need to recover. And I think it's important to sometimes disconnect from the society which is living in the city. So, for example, just going in a weekend in an absolutely different location just to reconnect, as people do when they go and do some meditation and yoga. I think yoga is so... yoga and meditation are two practices that are really developed nowadays, because people need to reconnect to something. They just sometimes don't know how to do it. And I think they are the good practices. We just, there is something we say, it's a revolution starts only with a whisper. I don't know if you've heard that before.
I have not. Can you expand on what
it
means?
It's basically what we want to do. It's we are just a whisper in the change, in the wind we want to create. And if all the whisper gets together, we create a wind enough powerful to make something change. It's like you have It's like you have an action which is going towards the environment and trying to conserve it. Then you have another one. But they are two small actions. If you put them together, it's becoming a bigger action, and so on. And then people are more like informed and aware of what's going on, what they can do it. So that's really the goal of the documentary, is more to make people aware. After, we want to go much further in what we do, because we work with research team. So we have international scientists. We have one anthropologist, Hubert Forestier, from France. He lived also with the flower men, and he read the book about them. We have really different scientists, and with them, we want to create a database about life cycle interactions. And this database will be usable by people to get information. In the documentary, we get simple information. Then after, in the database, we get information that could help research project.
Now that's very interesting. So I want to explore that a little more. We need to take our final break. When we come back, we'll follow up on that.
Okay.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Grammel, one of the original hosts on A Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger, in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry. Between the free lunch they get in school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday. And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at end68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
And welcome back to Kind Voice on Movies. I'm David Levin. We're talking to Morgan Will. Morgan, right before the break, you were talking about a database of life cycle interactions. Can you give an example of a life cycle interaction?
So, for example, I can take one which is not far from you, actually. It's like in Mexico. The evolution of a cactus. So the cactus at the beginning was like a tree, and then he started to do some photosynthesis with his trunk, but the surface was not enough. So then, like the trunk, the shape of the trunk changed, and he was able to make more photosynthesis. And then he was in the desert, very hostile environment, and every animals were coming to drink his water. So he evolved, and he changed his leaves into spikes. But then it was not enough because animals were still eating him. So what happened? He evolved and he poisoned his water. So now the interaction. So that's a life cycle. Now an interaction which is happening with this cactus is a bird. I'm sorry, but I'm not sure about the name. I need to recover it. There is a bird, and also there is a bat. So the bird is living in the cactus. Basically, is making a hole in the cactus, on top of the cactus, and living in it. This bird is drinking the water of the cactus, but is also when the cactus is flowering, is going and pollinating the cactus, pollinating all around. So it's spreading the pollen of the cactus. So this is an interaction. This is a symbiotic interaction. And that's what we would like to gather in this database. Because if we have all this information, which are going really into details, we could understand what are our impacts on the environment when we do something. Because when we touch something, maybe it will have an impact on this, but we are not really aware of that because we are still human. I mean, we cannot have all this information inside of us. So we need to document it, and we need to put together all this research project on the life cycles.
Now, your work is being an environmental engineer. Can you describe
Yes.
what that means and how it connects with the documentary that you're making?
So I always wanted like to work for the environment because like since I'm a kid, I like to be outdoors. And so I was just thinking, what is the best way for me to work toward the environment? And I became an engineer, and that's it. I was able to see like that there was some good projects in water treatment and in waste management because I've seen that there is so much issues about it because we are generating so much waste or we are consuming so much water. And that's like the base resource that we need, water. So I was thinking like, how can I work in this? And I did an apprenticeship in France and followed by different internships all around the world. And I met with so much different people and culture. And when you work with water or with waste, you have to understand all the life cycle of the water or the waste. Because you have to understand from where it's coming for the waste, from where it's coming, what we are going to do with it, how can we eventually recycle it, how can we avoid it, all these kind of amazing interactions. And for water, it's even more powerful because water, this is for me life. And the quantity of water on our planet is set. No, that's all the water we are drinking. It's the same water which was on Earth like millions of years ago. So there is different cycle and forms through like there is different cycle that the water will go through. And we know, I think most of us like know them, like when we go to school, when we see like that we can drink water, it's going to the sewer, then after it's recycled, then after it's evaporated, it's going in the cloud and it's raining, and then it's a cycle, full cycle. So that's how it connects, I think. And in my work, I had to do so many databases to gather information, and I realized that the power is to gather data. When we have information, we can act. If we are like, we get just a bit of information here and there, but it's maybe not complete. But if we have like a database on what we can rely on, then we can have a global vision, which is like much stronger than just getting like information, parcellar information. And that's what I realized like in my work. That's really communication and data.
Interesting. So there's a whole very specific factual side to your work. But then when you're first trying to make a documentary, how do you go about it? What's the process from idea to actually making it?
Yes. So the process is for us to have like the right persons, the right scientists for us to work with. I mean, when I say right, it's just like different areas on the same work, on the same subject, and we choose the flower man, which can be something else. It can be absolutely different. So all the scientists are sharing their information, and in the documentary we get like a summary of what they do and like useful information for us. And from there, we will dig after, like, the information to implement it in a database.
A lot goes into it. Now we're coming to the end of our time. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I'd like to share the story about my cousin. Actually, we can say her name; it would be much better. So she's called. Her name is Carol.
Okay.
And so when she was living with the flowerman 4 years ago, she was one day sick in the jungle, and she was sleeping, and she woke up, and she was not feeling good. And she was just sitting out of the clinic house. And for information, men and women doesn't sleep together in the flowerman. That's one of their way of living. And she was sitting there. She was not feeling good at all. And Saul, the guide, heard the noise she made, and he woke up and he came to her. And it started to just touch her arm and sing in their dialect, like an incantation. And suddenly she threw up. She like released all the content of her stomach, and she was really feeling much better. And it's like they had like a kind of a communication, non-verbal communication. Now she was fine, and so she just went to the river and she just like put some water on her face and she was feeling better after, and she came back. And it was just like to say that sometimes we don't even like need to talk to exchange information, and that's one of the really powerful experience that she came back with. Because it's really like much more stronger with the flower.
That is powerful how processes they've developed really have a great deal of power to heal.
Yes, exactly. The power to heal.
It's the power to heal. And I hope your documentary is going to help heal the world a little bit and get us on a good path. I think it's terrific you're making it, and I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was Morgan Will talking about his documentary, Off the Greed, Flower Man's Footsteps, to get off the grid of all the greed that we all are exposed to. And it's a very powerful story. I hope you check out his Kickstarter campaign. There's a link right in the show description, as well as a link to his website. I thank you guys for listening to A Kind Voice on Movies, and hope you go out and use your kind voice to make our world a kinder, more connected place. Have a good night.
Well, hello, fellow soldier. How's your day? Take my arm, let's walk and sink away. I want to know your thoughts now, yes it's true. And that blue bird, he flew by now just for you. You step outside, you don't know who you'll meet. With me, just know that I am there for you, to hear your voice, care to lend a hand. In this moment, we will work together and turn a new kind stranger to a friend. Thank you. walk down that lonely road alone, searching for a place to call.